You know how much I love my pillow, how much it's changed my life for the better. Well, I figured it was about time that I let you know about my pillow sheets. Now, Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. That's why he has created the new Giza Dream Bed Sheets. Now, these sheets are made from the world's best cotton, Giza, that's only grown in a very small region where the Sahara Desert, Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River all meet to create the ideal weather conditions for growing cotton. These Giza sheets are available in a variety of colors. They come with Mike's 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. The first night you sleep on these sheets, it's heaven. You'll never want to sleep on anything else. Now, right now, you, my listeners, you're going to save 30% and get free shipping when you use the promo code Sean7, S-E-A-N 7, when you go to MyPillow.com. Again, that's promo code Sean7, S-E-A-N 7, at MyPillow.com. All right, happy Monday. We're glad you are with us. Hope you had a great Passover and also a great Easter weekend and family and friends and whatever you like to do. We hope you got it all in. Terrible bombings in Sri Lanka over the weekend. Nearly 300 people killed. We'll have a full report coming up later in the program. You have bombs tearing apart three separate churches, three separate hotels, another explosion at a housing complex. I think they found 84 detonators at a particular bus stop that had not been finished. And we know nearly 300 killed, among them at least four U.S. citizens, 24 people in Sri Lanka in custody. And the attacks appear to have been carried out by suicide bombers with a network of radical terror. And officials have suggested that there was some advanced terror plot. Intelligence may have ignored it. That's never good. Never. I mean, what was the lesson of 9/11? You have the Kenya, Tanzania, the First Trade Center bombing, the USS Cole, the conclusion of the 9/11 report. I didn't agree with everything. They were at war with us. We were not at war with them. You know, yeah, we beat back the caliphate in Iraq and Syria. Remember, we've taken back all the territory that they had gained, every single bit of it. But radical Islamic terror is a threat, you know, and it manifests in many groups, different forms. And Al-Qaeda, obviously one, ISIS, then you've got, you know, all, Hezbollah, Hamas, you know, radical Islam, Muslim Brotherhood, all these groups that buy into this twisted, sick, you know, ideology that believes convert or die, or strapping bombs in some cases, even on your own children, to advance the caliphate and telling your own kids that they'll be rewarded in heaven. It's insane. You know, and the hard part is when you see moments like this unfolding, you know, good people have a hard time wrapping their minds around evil. You know, look at it. Look at communism. Look at the former Soviet Union, Stalin. Look at fascism. Look at Nazism, Imperial Japan. We, you know, the cost, the human toll. The last century was about 100 million human souls killed as a result of extremism. You know, my biggest fear, keep me up at night, is radical Islamists with a nuclear weapon. When, you know, that is a powder keg we cannot deal with. And there, if you marry that sick ideology, those who have perverted their religious beliefs, that evil that they embrace, if those radicals get a hold of that weapon, what would make you think it would stop them from using it? Especially, you know, those, look at the mullahs in Iran, stated goal, wiping Israel off the map. You know, there's a reason why even the Saudis, the Egyptians, the Jordanians, the Emirates, and others have aligned with Israel and the United States, because they fear that nightmare, that Iranian hegemony, those radical mullahs. You know, it's sad to think of the $150 billion in cash and other currency being dumped on the tarmacs by those mullahs. You know, by the way, Joe Biden, good luck explaining that if you're going to get in this week. You know, I watched this weekend. I really kept distant from it because I was off TV Friday night. And I just, you know, every time I'd read some coverage, see what was going on, it's like these people on the left, you know, we've discussed this rage, this psychosis, this mass psychosis. And it is fully and completely and utterly consumed the Democratic Party. The party now finds itself in conflict. You have those that, and we've got all the articles here we're going to get to in the course of the program. Mark Penn, by the way, wrote a great article. Mueller's done. Democrats should be too. Trump is not Nixon. You know, but of course, Mueller and his merry band of Democratic donors, you look at part two on the obstruction, why he didn't make a decision. He's basically saying, here, if you want to impeach him, go ahead. We don't like him anyway. Well, if anyone cared about obstruction, how do you not mention the name Hillary Clinton? The double standard is so flagrant. You have an underlying crime. There was no underlying crime for Donald Trump. He was screaming his innocence. He was, as Trey Gowdy said, if you're innocent, act like an innocent person would act. I think most innocent people would declare their innocence. And the idea that the president, who had all the authority legally to remove Mueller and remove Rod Rosenstein, and make the changes and stop the investigation, it would have politically been disastrous, but he had the power to do it. He did not. Proclaiming your frustration with a witch hunt when you can only say so many ways we found no evidence of collusion, which is what the Mueller report said again and again. But that still doesn't stop them. Hillary had an underlying crime. She even warned the State Department staff underneath her. When she was Secretary of State, she said, don't use private email for work-related things exactly. Like, top secret, classified information. Well, that's what that private server was about. Her top aides all knew about it. Barack Obama knew about it. Because when we found out the high-ranking official that had emailed her, one was Barack Obama. And classified, top secret, special access programming information. All on there. And then you have the intent. What was the intent of the deletions of subpoenaed emails and bleach bit acid wash of the hard drives and the destruction of BlackBerries and iPhones with hammers and removing SIM cards? Oh, the intent was to get rid of the evidence that confirmed the underlying crime. None of these people in the media, none of these Democrats that are out there on television all weekend, well, we may pursue impeachment against Donald Trump. You know, the Adam Cowardly Schiff, I mean, just makes it up lies with abandon. I've never seen a greater liar than this guy. What part of there's no collusion didn't he understand? But he'd been out there preaching forever that it's there. Listen, it's over. They lost. They didn't get what, for example, television, these networks lied over and over and over and over again for 2+ years. They created an expectation in their audience, an excitement even. We're going to get them. We're going to get them. Now they're trying to, after they've deflated everybody because all their hope was in the Mueller report, and then when it didn't happen, maybe the House will do it. That's what we need. Maxine Waters over. We have enough information from the Mueller report to move forward with impeachment. Elijah Cummings, if we do nothing after the Mueller report, Trump is going to be emboldened. They had a conspiracy TV. I saw this on Mediaite over the weekend. Panel actually debating the strategy on impeachment now. It would be a mistake to start it right away. In other words, it'll be clearly politically transparent. Let's just wait a little while, then we'll dive back in again. Or one host on MSNBC just ripping into a congressman for not wanting to impeach Trump. I mean, this is beyond psychosis. And the few Democrats like Mark Penn that say, you should be done. No collusion, no obstruction. They did lose. It's like for them, I told you this last week, it's like election night all over again. They got so jacked up and pumped up when they saw those exit polls at 5:15 on election night 2016. Those are those, you know, polls were dead wrong like they were in 2004. And I think if there's one politician in the country that is somebody you really can't poll accurately, it's Donald Trump. And the idea that people went in and said, screw you people, I'm not, oh, I voted for Hillary. They come out, damn, who'd you vote for? Hillary. They know, people now are so hip to the media bias, they're messing with them. You know, the idea that we are viewed as smelly Walmart people, irredeemable deplorables, cling to God, our Bibles, our guns, our religion. That's how these elitists think. They thought in the deep state that they knew better than us, we, the people. And that's why, you know, I got into a huge Twitter fight this weekend. It was some article that came out by the Daily Beast. Oh, some Russia TV show was using Hannity's monologue on the Mueller report on Russian television. I'm like, okay, this is, you know, I'm like, really? Do I have to now delve into this? Anyway, I tweeted out, I don't actually have access to Twitter anymore or any of any social media. I haven't for a long time. And I just went at them. You know, maybe they should have included my numerous comments about Russia being a hostile regime, Putin a hostile bad actor, how dangerous he is to our country. Then I tweeted about, well, Devin Nunes, if Obama, it all happened on his watch, had paid attention. Devin Nunes warned about all of this happening in the 2016 election back in 2014. And of course, they didn't lift a finger to help on the Devin Nunes warning. And he knew they did nothing to prevent it. How many times has the hate Trump media mob lied to you, the American people? Russia, 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 collusion, collusion, collusion. You know, what about the FISA? You know, first of all, we now know the investigation into Hillary is rigged. That's part one. We've got to go back to it. Then we know the phony Russian dossier was never verified and unverifiable. And everybody now knew, we found out from Bruce Orr's testimony, that he warned everybody. Steele hates Trump. Hillary paid for it. It's not verified. But still, it becomes the bulk of information in four separate FISA application warrants. Well, those warrants denied a fellow American his constitutional rights, gave Obama's government and Hillary's campaign yet another path to spy on the Trump campaign beyond Stefan Halper, who was charged to go after Page, Clovis, and Papadopoulos. By the way, you think the media is ever going to admit and be honest and introspective and self-reflective and admit they're wrong and retract? You know, no. They're going to jump on the next 16-year-old kid with a MAGA hat like they did Nicholas Sandman at Covington High School. They'll double down on slander and besmirchment. I love how they just cherry-pick your comments. You know, maybe this media mob can apologize to the American people for the two-plus years of lies and conspiracy theories. Maybe they can finally look into Hillary's rigged investigation. If they care so much about obstruction, why did she delete 33,000 subpoenaed emails, bleach bit, deletions, hammers? You ever going to ask that? Are you ever going to ask about the lying Russian dossier that was spread to the Washington Post and elsewhere? You know, full of lies, used as a FISA application to get into the Trump campaign. This fake news industrial complex in America, they're no better than Russian propaganda. All they know is they hate Trump. Maybe they could look at all the times. How is it we're right? Richard Jewell, Cambridge, UVA, Duke Lacrosse, Ferguson, Baltimore, vetting Obama, reporting Obama's failures, Covington High School, Justice Kavanaugh versus their treatment of Lieutenant Governor of Virginia. How many more times can they get this wrong? Their track record is the wreckage and carnage speaks for itself. By the way, they're all going to pay. As it relates to what they did to these Covington kids, they're going to pay a fortune. They're going to lose hundreds of millions of dollars, is my prediction. Lynn Wood is not going to stop, and he's not motivated by money. That's even worse for them. Want to remind you, too, if you're an unhappy timeshare owner, you went on a vacation, you're having the time of your life, somebody says you can duplicate this every year for the rest of your life, and then you never end up going back. And then you realize, there are other nice places I could go to, and I could better use that money, but every year you got to pay the maintenance fees and whatever other fees associated with it. You wish you never did it. Well, there's a way out, thanks to my friends at Lone Star Transfer, Brian and Karen. They run a family-owned business. They will make sure that your experience is a pleasant one. They will get you out of your timeshare legally, ethically, and quickly. I have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, and this is what they do. Don't let another year go by and you're paying all this money for a timeshare you're never going to use. Now, two ways to get them. Online at LoneStarTransfer.com, all right? Or give my friends a call, no obligation. Call #250 on your mobile, keyword timeshare. Just hit #250 on your mobile phone, say the keyword timeshare, or just go to LoneStarTransfer.com. All right, as we roll along, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of this extravaganza. Look, there's a lot that is going to come out now. And James Rosen of Fox confirmed what the president had said to me in the last interview I had with him, and that is that Trump is going to declassify these five buckets we always tell you about, Gang of Eight, the FISA applications, 302s, all the stuff that we talk about. And James Rosen says it's happening sooner than later. And a lot of this will expose what the media, the 99%, missed, which is the biggest abuse of power corruption scandal in history. And it will chronicle the abuse, again, upper echelon. And I'll always put that caveat in because it's not fair to the 99% of good agents, FBI, intelligence people. These people risk their ass for us every single day and put their butts on the line for us. I'm sorry. They're as aggravated as we are. But, you know, the FISA abuse, the rigged investigation, the Horowitz report, the Hoover report, now the Barr investigation. And it's basically an attempt to rig an election, rig an investigation, and undo an election after they lost. And all of these items that will be declassified, you know, the FISA applications themselves, we know the bulk of information came from Hillary's bought and paid for a Russian dossier. And it's all the names you've heard. Jim Comey, I wrote it way before his book came out. I tweeted out, you have the right to remain silent. I advise you to use it. He didn't. Andrew McCabe, still talking. He's under criminal investigation. Strzok and Page and Orr, etc. You know, but the promise of the president to do this is now real. And the president's now saying that they are taking a fresh look at the declassification. It's going to happen. And when it does, it's not going to be pretty, but it's necessary if we are to stop this abuse of power in the future. You know, there are more than 34 million American smokers. Now, I bet that finding a satisfying alternative to cigarettes is at the top of your list if you're a smoker. Look, I've been there before. But after many years of smoking, I finally made the switch to Juul. There's no more worrying about the way my clothes smell, worrying about what people are gonna say. With Juul, everything is so much easier. Now, Juul is a vaporizer that contains nicotine for a satisfying transition. When I found Juul, it was a complete game changer. Now, Juul was designed by smokers for smokers to be an alternative to cigarettes. From its simple to use interface to its clean technology, well, Juul has no cigarette ash, odor, or mess. So if you're one of the 34 million adults who smoke, know that there is an alternative to cigarettes. Now, to discover the smoking alternative that's nothing like you've tried, visit juul.com/switchamerica. That's juul.com/switchamerica. And warning, this product does contain nicotine, and nicotine is an addictive chemical.
All right, 25 till the top of the hour. Glad you're with us. 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. Anyway, the declassification we expect. Here's where the psychosis runs even deeper than I think anybody ever thought. Because it's not only that the media, the Democrats, they bought it all hook, line, and sinker, but when did they know? You know, when did they know, for example, one question I have is now that Mueller's declared there's no collusion, no collusion, no collusion, no Russia collusion, no evidence of any collusion of any American with Russia. And then we have all the process crimes, and rightly so, I would assume, the indictment of these bot companies, whoever these people are, and these Russian intelligence figures. I know they're important, identifying them, but we're never going to get them extradited to the U.S. because they're the people that was actually responsible for trying to create election chaos, etc. And, you know, the fact that Ukraine is now offering America an admission that they, too, meddled in our election, and they're saying we meddled on behalf of Hillary Clinton and we're willing to give you all the evidence, and there's not one person, just like with the Hillary Clinton, you know, whole case of obstruction. They all care about obstruction, but not her deletions and her bleach bit and her hammers to unsubpoenaed 33,000 emails. They don't care about that. They care about bludgeoning Justice Kavanaugh, but they couldn't give a rip about believing those that accused the lieutenant governor of Virginia of rape and violent sexual assault. This is all selective moral outrage. And, you know, yeah, so they're just trying to figure out how they're what they're going to do next. How are they going to deal with this? And the radicals that have now taken over the Democratic Party, that this is what they want. And they feel that, well, I think Mueller's, if you really pay attention, he's given us a roadmap to impeachment, which, by the way, I mean, Levin was right when he was on Thursday. This is a roadmap. This is a political document, especially the obstruction stuff. You see, if some prosecutors, if they decide, which Mueller even did, and that's why it took Rosenstein, the Office of Legal Counsel, the Attorney General Barr, basically seconds, because also they were in contact with the special counsel's office the whole time. But the fact that, you know, if you don't have the evidence, if it doesn't rise to the level of indictment, even though maybe, you know, some things are a little whatever, usually you never release the information at all unless you're going to indict somebody. And it is a political document that is never, but it's, you know, Democrats are hoping to use it as a roadmap to impeachment. And if they can't get that, well, this is the whole issue. Well, we got plan B. Let's go after everything Trump related. And you have House Democrats demanding every tax return, charging him with abuse of power. And let's get every bit of financial information on the Trumps we can. Then we're going to go back that way. And we'll try to impeach him that way. Well, finally, I mean, after what is the highest level of cooperation we've ever seen, a million five documents handed over to Mueller. The president not one time ever invoked executive privilege. Now, Obama did for Eric Holder in Fast and Furious, and on a number of occasions. Clinton did as well. Trump never did. Even the most insane thing in this to me is, why was Don McGahn allowed 30 hours before Mueller? That's the White House counsel. There has to be some privilege somewhere for somebody. And attorneys for the president, after this cooperation and exoneration, you know, now the president's lawyers rightly looking at what is a fishing expedition and witch hunt to harass a sitting president, have basically now they're suing back the partisan House Democrats demanding all of everything business Trump. And attorneys for the president, it'd be like, oh, let's use the IRS to get information. Now we're subpoenaing their IRS to give us Trump's records. Oh, you want to empower the IRS to go after political opponents? Really? This has gotten this derangement. There's no constitutional basis for it. But more importantly, there's nobody that is able to get a grip in the Democratic Party or the media to saying, wow. I mean, you have somebody like Mark Penn, who will join us later, and somebody like Alan Dershowitz. Hello, we're a party that believes in civil liberties somewhere, but it doesn't matter. Anyway, so the attorneys for the president filed a lawsuit today that seeks to block all these subpoenas by Elijah Cummings and Nadler's committee and Maxine Waters and Schiff's committee and this secret memorandum of understanding with Congressman Cummings and the cowardly Schiff and Gerald Nadler. And it was filed in federal court. And, you know, the Cummings is saying that, well, they have ignored the constitutional limits on Congress power to investigate. You don't get to go on fishing expeditions by ordering the IRS to turn over any citizen's tax information. Why? Because they're going to fish through it and find, now we got them. And when are they ever going to think of the American people in this? What has this group of Democrats ever put forward to lower prescription drug costs like our friend Dr. Josh Umber? Or to fix the disaster where millions lost their doctors, their plans, and were promised they'll save money? Everybody pays more. Millions lost doctors and plans. Some people have one choice in many cities and towns in this country. You know, you've got, you know, let's look at the scorecard. This was in The Guardian, Elizabeth Warren tweeting out, I read the Mueller report. When I got to the end, I realized this is a point of principle. The severity of this misconduct demands that elected officials in both parties set aside political considerations and do their constitutional duties. All right, she wants to outflank everybody else that's running for president. And she followed, you know, Robert Francis Beto Bozo, who was for impeachment before he was against impeachment. But now he's back for impeachment. Sort of like Kamala Harris. She's for Medicare for all, but no private insurance. Wait, I might support private insurance. No, I'm going to stick with no private insurance. They're literally flailing, but especially in their attempts to destroy this president. O'Rourke saying over the weekend, a Senate campaign, that he would vote to impeach Trump. Or recently, you know, said, well, maybe it's not a good idea. Even Schiff was like, well, I'm not sure if it's not good for the American people. You know, the American people have November of 2020 is coming. They can decide then. I'll get into this later, but we have this mayor. You know, you think of the new Green Deal plan. Really? We're going to retrofit every house in America, eliminate oil and gas. Our oil and gas is literally the ticket whereby every American can dramatically raise their wealth and their standard of living. Every single American can profit and benefit financially from the energy and gas resources that fuel the entire world. Because we've got more of it than anybody else. We're now energy independent, and we are a net exporter of energy. You get these pipelines on target and flowing. You get our, you know, oil companies and ANWR. You get all this natural gas, and we are going to be a very wealthy country. Literally millions of career-paying life jobs for people. You know, as we've experienced before, we just need to go full bore, which this president's doing. But the Democrats' plan is no more oil and gas, no more combustion engine, but we'll create charging stations. Everything is free. Medicare for all. Daycare, because we'll have a wealth tax. And then we'll get rid of cows and planes before it's all done. Good luck getting to Europe or Asia or New Zealand. Mayor Comrade de Blasio, we'll get to this later, but he's announcing a ban on skyscrapers and retrofitting every big building in New York. This is insane. His version, and doing it within 5 years. You know, he's have strong mandates. The biggest source of emissions in New York City is buildings. And he wants buildings that will reduce emissions. And if they don't get it done by 2030, we just built the Freedom Tower. We got to get rid of all the glass and all the steel in the Freedom Tower. We're going to ban classic glass and steel skybreakers, which are incredibly inefficient. What are we going to use? Sticks? No, I can't use them. That would cut down a tree. By the way, Congresswoman Omar says laws against drugs are racist. There's another extreme part of the party. Matt Gaetz actually went on the record. I read his comments in the Washington Examiner today over the weekend that there may be an element of bribery behind the cozy relationship with the fake fraudulent obsessed media and the Obama FBI. We're going to watch. Listen, Obama's up to his eyeballs in this deep state stuff. It's not if, it's when all of this is coming out. There's nothing. I'm just telling you, just sit back and watch how wrong they all were, how obsessed they were. You know, the New York Times still testified that his dossier might have been fabricated by Russia. This is pretty funny. Based on previously unreported testimony from Steele, New York Times had to report today that Steele's Trump dossier, which Hillary paid for, which Obama's FBI used to justify spying on the Trump campaign, was likely Russian disinformation. You think? Which would mean the same dossier that was bought and paid for by the Clinton campaign, which means Hillary Clinton may have bankrolled a Russian disinformation campaign to try and rig the 2016 election. It's always going to come down to this. It's not that hard, and it's not that complicated, and whether they like it or not, it's all going to happen. And I'm telling you that we're going to get to the bottom of all this, and all this information is going to come out, and the American people are going to open their eyes and say, "How? Oh, my God, how did this possibly happen in the United States of America?" And by the way, Joe Biden is up to his eyeballs. All of this happened on his and Obama's watch. The attorney general was Obama and Biden's. We know what I want to know is, we know the special. When did the special counsel's office know the truth about Russia collusion? When did they know? Why did Mueller wait to answer the collusion question? Michael Mukasey made this observation. I think it's a great question. He was a former federal judge and the AG under George W. Bush. He was on with my buddy Bill Hemmer at Fox and, you know, and asked why Mueller did not reveal the most important piece of information uncovered until he submitted his report to William Barr. When did Mueller know? When did the people who work for him know that there was no coordination? Because they should have closed up shop and stopped with the process crimes at that point. When did they realize that big question? And whenever they realized it should have been, why weren't we told? Why hold it back? Well, you have the 18 Democrats that wanted to get to the, you know, there's no underlying crime. This whole thing is a political witch hunt. The president was right. No collusion, none. You know, why didn't they reveal it before the midterms? You know, I'm even a liberal reporter tells his colleague, get off the Russia collusion crackpipe. Where did I see that on townhall.com? I mean, the whole summary here, it's I don't know who said it. I just read the headline. It's pretty funny. You know, the New York Post, we'll do this tonight. We have a number of top 10 lists tonight. You know, what are the top 10 most unanswered questions? What are the top 10 documents we need? What are the top 10 epic media fails? Byron York had a funny piece. For some Democrats, breaking up with the dossier is hard to do. There's a lot of truth in that, too. My buddy Rowan Scarborough over at the Washington Times, that Steele made a dozen conspiracy charges against Trump. Robert Mueller's report debunks the Russian dossier. He had a great article about that out there. One former CIA analyst, U.S. intelligence may be biased towards Democrats, you think? And Schiff, the cowardly liar, is literally saying, oh, it's all, everything I said is proven. Just the opposite happened. Where is he? What alternate reality is this guy living in? Does make you wonder. You know, I've known my friends at Simply Safe Home Security a long time. They're the only ones doing home security right. Your other options? Big, traditional companies. They try to sell you outdated systems, expensive long-term contracts you can't get out of. Or on the other extreme, you have new security gadget companies that you have to monitor yourself. Well, what if you miss an alert? Or what if an intruder comes through a window not protected by your, quote, gadget? Well, who's going to call the police for you? That's where Simply Safe Home Security comes in. Now, Simply Safe makes it simple and easy to totally protect your home and family and keep you secure. They have round-the-clock 24/7 professional monitoring and police dispatch, and Simply Safe system covers every door, every window in your home with no wires and small sensors you will barely even notice. It's only $15 a month. That's it for complete protection. Order today at simplysafe.com/Sean to get 10% off your system. That's simplysafe.com/Sean. You get 10% off your Simply Safe system. simplysafe.com/Sean.
You're going to love what we've got coming up today. John Solomon has a column that he's already written that's coming out, and We will also talk to Mark Penn, and he's got a column out tonight, one that he's written. But Mark Penn, I'm you got to love this, because they're never going to listen to the Doug Schoens, the Mark Penns, even Steny Hoyer's looking at this madness as the second most powerful Democrat in the House of Representatives, and he's trying to, like, give a warning. Guys, this ain't going to work out well. You're losing. You're going to lose on a greater scale if you keep giving into this insanity. And yet they cannot control or help themselves. It's just, it's going to be a fascinating thing to watch. And it will all lead to Donald Trump's reelection. That's the great irony of what they're doing.
When did President Trump say, hey, go out there and fire Mueller?
He never did. You know, I was there at the same time that that the report says that, you know, McGahn mentioned this. And I dealt with, I was assigned to deal with Mueller. And I briefed the president every day. And every week I saw Mueller or Quarles for 8 months.
Right.
At no time did the president ever say, you know, John, I'm going to get rid of him. John is not going to do it. It was just the opposite. Here's the message the president had for Bob Mueller, to me, to Kerry. One, you tell him I respect what he's doing. Number two, you tell him he's got my full cooperation. Number three, get it done as quickly as possible. And number four, whatever else you need, let me know.
So,
and that was always the message, and that's exactly what we did.
He once described to me on this program that the Trump administration's actions related to the Russia probe are, quote, of a size and scope probably beyond Watergate. What do you say now?
Well, I think it's clear from the Mueller report that that's exactly right. The obstruction of justice in particular in this case is far worse than anything that Richard Nixon did. The break-in by the Russians of the democratic institutions, a foreign adversary, far more significant than the plumbers breaking into the democratic headquarters. So, yes, I would say in every way this is more significant than Watergate. And the fact that a candidate for president and now a president of the United States would not only not stand up and resist Russian interference in our election, but would welcome it, goes well beyond anything Nixon did. The fact that the President of the United States would take Putin's side over his own intelligence agencies go well beyond anything Richard Nixon did. So, yes, I think it is far more serious than Watergate.
Yeah, of course, he's been saying that, just like he's been saying, I have all the evidence of collusion and it doesn't exist. I mean, it's really, when you have four separate investigations that have all concluded the same thing, how many more times do I have to go back to this Mueller report and read no collusion? Just like the FBI, Strzok and Page, no collusion. A 9-month investigation, although it might have even started earlier, which we're doing a deep dive into even as we speak, and they cannot help themselves. It is a level of rage, hatred, and psychosis. You know, the big question now is the left-wing radicals of the Democratic Party, are they going to override any bit of common sense? You have the Nunes House Intel report, the bipartisan Senate committee report, the FBI report, and the Mueller report. Clearly, no collusion, no obstruction. It doesn't matter. And then we want your taxes. We want it's. Tell me where any of this is good for the American people. What are they doing to serve their constituents? This is not service. And the biggest liar of them all is, you know, Adam the Cowardly Schiff. And it's like the media cannot give up the addiction that they have. Anyway, John Solomon is with us, investigative reporter, executive vice president of The Hill, on the latest on the probe. John has given me a little bit of a preview. We'll have more details on this tonight. I don't know how much you can give me, but like we're doing on this program in our own way, you in your own way, you know, you want really specific things answered. And if we don't answer them and we don't solve the underlying causes, we are risking a system of justice that really is not predicated on our Constitution any longer. It's a dual system of justice, no equal justice under the law or application of our laws, and those that abuse power must be held accountable. We're on the same page on that.
Yeah, listen, I think the American public's on the same page as well. This concern about dual justice and hijacking of the intelligence and law enforcement community for political purposes is becoming more rooted in the American conscience now that the Mueller report is out. I think the most interesting thing I've heard the last 5 or 6 days, and it was in my column this morning, Sean, is that a growing number of intel people that I'm talking to are beginning to say we may have had the assessment wrong, that when we said that Russia was trying to help Donald Trump and hurt Hillary Clinton, it may not be that clear. In fact, a lot of people look at the facts that Mueller has put in the report and said, instead of a collusion strategy, it looks like Vladimir Putin was doing what is known in the spy trade craft as a discoverable influence operation. What does that mean? In layman's terms, it means he was set up. It was a setup. It was designed to be detected so that people would then question Donald Trump, the intelligence equivalent of framing someone. So to hear that, and one of the people who said that's Daniel Hoffman, the former CIA station chief in Moscow. If anyone knows Russian spy craft, it's Daniel Hoffman. When you start to hear the intelligence community talk that way, you realize how wrong the early assessments were and all the early reporting in my industry was, and how much there's a welcoming of a fresh review of all of these conclusions.
When are we talking about going back as far as what?
You know, I think you have to begin to take a look at the period that begins in December 2015. If, as a lot of the facts seem to suggest, this was a political operation, a political oppo research operation designed to create a breadcrumb trail that the FBI would bite on and then go after Donald Trump. The first key moment seems to occur around December 2015 when, as I previously reported last year, Bruce Ohr and Christopher Steele, soon to become the oppo researcher of the Clinton campaign, start talking about trying to get dirt on Paul Manafort through a Russian connection they know as Oleg Deripaska, one of the oligarchs they were targeting. From that point forward, I believe over the next few weeks and months, we will be able to track a series of events where you can see the Democrats working with foreign powers, foreign people,
Let me interrupt you because I think I know what you're saying. In other words, that we might have very high-level people within, say, the intelligence community that were farming out things to other allied countries that would be illegal for them themselves to do.
Exactly. I think that's going to be one of the predominant questions. Did we ask the foreigners to do what our law prevented us from doing against American citizens like Trump or any of his advisors? I think that's one piece of it. I think a second piece of it is the Democrats, the Justice Department under Democratic control, State Department under Democratic control, the Democratic National Committee and Hillary Clinton campaign. Did they work with foreign powers to get information? We have some pretty strong hints of it, right? We know that Christopher Steele and Bruce Ohr are targeting a Russian, Oleg Deripaska. We know Christopher Steele got the majority of his information from a former Russian intelligence officer, which, by the way, doesn't exist. When you're in the Russian intelligence, you never leave. And then we know that there were these contacts with the Ukrainian embassy that Politico wrote about in 2017. I think we're going to be able to fill in a lot of gaps between those different points and show a much more robust effort by Democrats and the Democratic administration to work with foreigners to get dirt on Donald Trump.
You go through tonight, and I don't want to give away your story tonight because we're going to break it on Hannity to the extent that you and I have talked. I'm going from memory here.
Sure.
But in Mr. Editor, tear down these false and unproven Russia collusion stories, which is all true. But you go into very specific detail about very specific instances that there was an epic fail at the media. And now we have cable TV. That's one aspect of it. The Washington Post, the New York Times is an aspect of it. The other tales about Carter Page and Manafort, Assange, and BuzzFeed's unfounded scoop on the Trump Tower of Moscow project, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. Or, you know, Michael Cohen in Prague, or, you know, McClatchy, who got so much wrong in all of this.
Yep. You're right. You know, I go back to a very important point in journalism. I remember 1998. That's the day that the Wall Street Journal broke a story about Bill Clinton that turned out, and Monica Lewinsky that turned out to be false. And they did the right thing. They did the wrong reporting, but when they were called on it, they retracted it. What we've seen my industry do these last few years as overt, obvious information has come out that contradict or debunk a story. Instead of correcting and retracting the story, they're just doing appendages, things that people won't notice. So add a little bit, oh, Bob Mueller says he doesn't agree with our assessment. Well, in the old days, we used to call that story wrong and we would retract it. And I think the discussion I'd like to have in my own profession is, what are the stories that should be retracted? Because they're either demonstrably false or now, 2 years in, can't be proven. that standard used to be the standard by which we retracted stories. And I think we'll be able to talk tonight about a whole bunch of those stories that don't meet the test of journalism accuracy, journalism ethics. And I think there's a good discussion for the American people to demand that our industry fix and retract these stories.
You know, it is an amazing thing. I got into a, I stay off Twitter now. I don't even have access to my accounts. Either Linda or my TV staff tweets out everything. And yeah. I went through a series of tweets this weekend after there was this ridiculous report by the, you know, absolutely hardline left wing, you know, Daily Beast. And I just got into it because there's so much that they have not, that they have gotten wrong from the very beginning on all of this.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was time for somebody to call them out. I call them lazy, overpaid, propagandists, you know, false, politically driven coverage.
Yeah.
You know, the media mob has likely lost all credibility forever. I made a list of everything that they have been wrong about in terms of you know, going through the list of Smollett, starting with, for example, Richard Jewell and straight on through
right.
Nicholas Sandman and Cambridge and police and Duke Lacrosse, UVA, Ferguson, Baltimore, vetting Obama. They were, you know, or Kavanaugh, I believe, versus the Virginia lieutenant governor. They've got it right. all wrong, and they never are held accountable.
Yeah, we need a moment in our profession, and I say this as someone that still reveres the profession and still believes it can do good things in the world, that we need to have an inflection point to acknowledge where we've gotten off the rails. There was a quote back from 1998 that journalism experts at the time, which is the danger of scandals is that you get so emotionally invested in them that you mistake a bullet for an atom bomb. And I think that a lot of what happened here in the intelligence world.
Hey, Russia, John, with all due respect, yes. You being very kind and gracious, they always get it wrong.
Well, I can think of times where we got the profession got it right. I know.
Well, okay, but hang on. Think of the extent. On Donald Trump, everything is wrong. They loved Obama. They hated Trump. And they acted as such. And, yeah, are there exceptions to the rules? Sure. Cheryl Atkinson is an exception.
Sure.
You're an exception. But generally speaking, they are hardline left that now has gone so over to the other side. They, you know, there's an indignation that they cannot admit or retract and apologize. As you said, it's never, hell will freeze over, John. It's never going to happen.
It may. And that will be an unfortunate thing because I think we have to fix ourselves as an industry.
Journalism's dead, except for the few people that really care about truth.
Yeah.
And the,
it's
not by accident that I have a track record that I'm right almost all the time when they're wrong. And the same with you. And,
yeah, the key is to stick to the facts. And I think so much emotion and politics have gotten into the profession that it clouds the judgment of editors and of...
Oh, you think? Let's go back now, because let's get a big picture of the days, the weeks, the months ahead, what's coming.
Yeah, I think the biggest dynamic to see is watching the investigators now become the investigated. That is going to be the dynamic that will dominate the next 6 months. And that will occur on many fronts. It will occur in the intelligence community. It will occur with Attorney General Barr, who is doing his own assessment. It will occur with the Inspector General of the Justice Department. And I believe it will occur in both the House and the Senate. Even Republicans in the minority are starting to do some pretty remarkable things, digging into some of the issues. And even though they don't have committee power, they still have the power of their office. And I think you'll see House Republicans, Lindsey Graham, Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, who has a very powerful committee. I think you'll see between those five sectors a lot of accountability coming out and a lot of hard questions. And I think the biggest thing the President of the United States can do to help all of those gain transparency, declassify the documents that have been identified in those five buckets.
Well, and you want to remind people, I remind them often, but the way you say it is different. So maybe they'll hear it from you better than me.
Well, you've had it right from the beginning. So it's the FISA document. It's the Gang of Eight document.
FISA application. The Gang of Eight would expose the FBI acknowledging failure?
Yes, and showing the missteps. So when you read those two together, you sort of have the perfect compendium of what went wrong in the FBI. Then there are some emails that show how early on the FBI knew that there were problems with Christopher Steele as an informant. Remember, affirmatively, they told the court he was in good standing and they knew of no derogatory information. I don't think that declaration is going to turn to be true.
You know, I got to give props and kudos to you. And I can't mention every person, but there's maybe 20 or 30 of us that have been on this from day one. And we wouldn't be here, honestly, without, you know, this is too now critical and crucial to the republic that we love. And if we don't solve these problems, it's going to happen again. Anyway, thank you so much, John Solomon. We'll see you tonight on Hannity, 9 Eastern, Fox News Channel.
Have all of this case of obstruction presented in the Mueller report, as you just stated. Some might ask, why haven't you opened an impeachment inquiry? Or, in fairness, is that what you're doing right now?
I don't think we're doing that. We may get to that. We may not. As I said before, it is our job to go through all the evidence, to all the information
the
we can get, and to go where the evidence leads us.
Do you think this is impeachable?
Yeah, I do. I do think that this, if proven, which hasn't been proven yet, some of this would be impeachable. Yes.
All right.
Obstruction of justice, if proven, would be impeachable.
And then you're going to go about to see if you can prove it?
Well, we're going to see where the facts lead us.
The report is out. The partisan divide seems wide or even wider than ever. What happens now?
This document, the Mueller document, has now left us with a roadmap to go forward. I think he basically said to us, as a Congress, it's up to you to take this further with regard to obstruction and other matters that might come up.
Well, already, Mr. Chairman, Elizabeth Warren, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Maxine Waters, Julian Castro have said we should begin proceedings to impeach the president. Are you there yet?
I'm not there yet, but I can foresee that possibly coming.
I and my staff began to look very closely at this president early on. And when we looked at all of his allies and the people who were connected with him and with Putin and the Kremlin and with the oligarchs of Russia, we determined something was very wrong, and we dubbed them the Kremlin Klan. The Kremlin Klan, as identified, has been on my face page on Twitter for almost 2 years. We know who they are, and this report only confirms that. What more do we need to do? Okay, so if we cannot decide, if the Democrats cannot decide that they're going to move with impeachment, I guess they're going to go on with these investigations. How long are they going to go on with them? What more do they need to prove?
That's Nadler, Congressman Cummings, Congresswoman Maxine Waters. And, you know, look at the headline say, Democrats may pursue impeachment against Donald Trump. Schiff, Dems may take up impeachment proceedings if it's the best thing for the country. Waters, enough information in the Mueller report to move forward with impeachment. If we do nothing after Mueller report, Trump is going to be emboldened. Another headline. And it gets on from there. You know, there was a conspiracy TV MSNBC panel debating over the weekend the strategy on impeachment. It'd be a mistake to start the hearings right away, but we got to do it. You know, Joy Reid badgering a Democratic a congressperson for not wanting to impeach Donald Trump. This is who they have now become. When is there ever, somebody tell me, an instance where they say, you know, maybe we could work with the president, secure our border, lower the prices of prescription drugs like we have been. How many times has Dr. Josh been on this program of Atlas MD, and he gets his own negotiations with drug companies at 95% discounts and concierge care for every American at price $50 a month for adults? It's unbelievable. You walk out of the doctor's office with your prescription, and he's duplicated that nearly 1,000 times. When are they going to talk about, oh, how can we be energy independent? What do we do with the vast resources of energy? Is there anything the Democrats are offering that helps forgotten men and women that were so hurt during the Obama years? Anyway, there is one Democrat with a lot of courage in all of this, has a new piece in The Hill today, Mark Penn. His headline, Mueller's done, Democrats should be too, Trump is no Nixon. But how much abuse do you get for saying what is so obvious, that they're destroying the Democratic Party?
Well, you know, I get a mix of everything. I've had people write me, even from the Watergate era,
thanking me. So, you know, look, I know it's a controversial viewpoint, but I was in impeachment in the middle of it in 98, working with President Clinton, and I saw how destructive these things are to the country. You want to have an election, have an election. You want to have an impeachment, you sure can't have one on the basis of this report.
You know, what's amazing, Mark, is, and I said this in terms of Bill Clinton and the difference between him and Obama, and I felt like I was out there on a limb with the smallest twig hanging on a leaf from that was left from last fall and about to, you know, Newt Gingrich told me if I keep pushing so hard and vetting Obama that I'm probably going to ruin my career, that I can't stop. It's who I am. And I concluded after Frank Marshall Davis, Alinsky, Acorn, community organizer, and Reverend Wright and Ayers and Dorn that Obama's going to be a radical ideologue. And he was. He never changed. Bill Clinton, you know, after 2 years, Republicans take back Congress for the first time in 40, comes up with the era of big government is over and the end of welfare as we know it. He governed conservatively as a Democrat from that point on, or at least moderately, working with Newt Gingrich to solve problems.
Well, yeah, I was part of that effort, right? And we had welfare reform. We had a balanced budget. We had an immigration reform bill at the time. We had a lot. We did a lot of good. We said, look, let's put the country first. You know,
a lot of good. Listen, the last time we had a balanced budget was with Newt as Speaker and Clinton as President.
Yeah, that's true. Look,
right.
And Newt and the president would pound at each other all day, and they would go and negotiate all night.
And it worked. And the country was better off.
Correct.
So you see the headlines, you see the new Green Deal, you hear impeachment. You know, they're still pushing collusion for crying out loud, even though the Mueller report couldn't be any more clear. What does this do? Who wins this battle, if there even is a battle? I mean, Steny Hoyer's trying to pull back. Even Pelosi tried a little, but then she gets hammered from her left flank. I would argue that the radicals have taken over the Democratic Party. They win.
Well, look, Gingrich at the time went too far, and we gained seats in 98. And I think Democrats are on the path of going too far. They're too far because the Mueller report showed no collusion. And if it showed no collusion, how do you obstruct justice that wasn't going to happen? That, in fact, the injustice was the investigation itself. And I've seen how frustrated presidents get when they're investigated for things they did do, let alone for things they didn't do.
You know, I love that whole thing on obstruction. Well, he said that I want to fire Mueller. This is ridiculous. This is a witch hunt. He said it all publicly, or Rod Rosenstein is a bad guy. He needs to go. Or I hope General Flynn doesn't get in trouble. He never took any steps, and he had the authority himself to do all of that. He would have legally he could have fired Mueller.
Right. He actually had. He had the constitutional authority to fire Mueller. And what did he actually do with Mueller?
Nothing.
He turned over more documents than we ever would have.
Never invoked executive privilege one time. Not once. Not one time.
So he did the same thing. He hit him during the day and with politics, and by night he cooperated fully, gave them full access. And, you know, what did they find? That sometimes he got frustrated. Who wouldn't get frustrated? But he didn't step over any lines. He didn't shut down their investigation. He didn't pay hush money. There was none of the things that was done like Nixon did. This is absurd. This is a president who was continually frustrated that an investigation that should never have happened was plaguing his presidency over something that didn't happen. I mean, it's incredible when you think about it.
It's scary, actually. Now, I can tell you, my last interview with the president, he was very clear that he will declassify key Russiagate documents. And from all of my sources, and I worked a lot of sources in the 2+ years this has been going on, I think you're pretty well aware, this was a team effort. This was not just Sean Hannity. And we know that there's damning information in those FISA applications. I'll quote the Grassley Graham memo. The bulk of information in the FISA applications came from that Hillary Clinton paid for Russian dossier with lies. And it was also disseminated to the public. And we also know that the fix was in. Even Page and Strzok threw it right on the desk of Loretta Lynch, that they rigged the investigation into Hillary's email server and obvious obstruction of justice. When we get the Gang of Eight, those FISA applications, those five buckets that I always talk about, then there's going to be a new narrative in this country. You're keenly aware of it as well. And that's the abuse of power that took place and the effort
exactly
to undermine a duly elected president.
Look, there were three things that caught my eye, right? I mean, first, when it came out that the dossier itself was really paid for through an Oppo research group that actually was, in fact, funded by the DNC and the Hillary campaign. So anyone would have said, hey, why are we using a document? It's not legitimate intelligence. Second, anybody should just read it. It's a joke when you read it. It's a complete sham joke if you just read actually a dossier.
It's not a joke, though, if you're... It's not a joke.
Right? The struck page text, which said, you know what? The possibility of a conspiracy inside is real. The stuff that you had on was real. That there was more evidence for that than for the opposite. And any objective journalist should have seen that.
You know, I went on a tweet storm last night, and I don't have access to any social media. I haven't for a long time. So I have to ask my staff. I wrote it out, and I sent it to them. I said, can you send this out in a series of tweets? And all the things that they didn't do, all the fact that they tried to unseat a duly elected president, that there was an insurance policy for such, the fact that the news media was so wrong so often, as we have pointed out, the fact that, you know, all of these things happen and they get it wrong on Richard Jewell, Cambridge Police, UVA, Duke Lacrosse, Ferguson, Baltimore, vetting Obama, the Covington kids, Kavanaugh. You know, I can go on forever. And they never, this is the biggest epic fail ever by the news media. How does this fall out for them?
Well, it ranks up there with weapons of mass destruction. So it's a, you know, look, in fact, I don't understand how the media hasn't said, look, all of these connections with Russia, we only looked at this campaign. We didn't look at everybody's connections. We didn't look at the Democrats' connections. We looked at these connections, and none of them led to anything that could remotely be called the collusion. And therefore, the media should have, in effect, apologized. And frankly, it's incredible that it went, you know, for any real observer of what Mueller was doing, he doesn't have a single prosecution based on that. He either has it on FARA registration taxes or process crimes related to his own investigation, without even a single person indicted for obstruction or for collusion. How are you then going to put this at the president's feet unless you think the president is a magician?
I think it's well said. All right, stay right there. More with Mark Penn, the former pollster for the Clintons. All right, as we continue, Mark Penn, former Clinton pollster, is with us. Mueller's done. Democrats should be, too. Trump is no Nixon, but it's not going to happen. Now, what I imagine is going to happen at some point, based on some of the closed-door testimony that we got, especially on the Clinton email investigation, and I don't know where you stand. The evidence is overwhelming and incontrovertible. She had top secret classified information on a private server. The law is clear, 18 U.S.C. 793, but Strzok and Page referred to the fix being in on that investigation. Also, that would be an underlying crime. Then if you want real obstruction, well, there was a real intent when you delete 33,000 subpoenaed emails. You bleach bit your hard drive to make it clean, and it makes it unrecoverable, and have an aide bust up your devices in case there's any evidence on that. So that would be intent. Then you have the whole FISA abuse scandal, and then an attempt to undo a duly elected president. Do you see all of these things now coming to light, and isn't it in the country's best interest to get to the bottom of all of it?
Well, you know, as someone who worked for the Clintons, I stay away from commenting directly on people whom I respect and I feel did a lot of good for the country. I don't think.
Let me ask you another way. If you deleted 33,000 subpoenated emails.
You tried to get me to do that.
No. If you deleted 33,000 subpoenaed emails, acid washed your hard drive with bleach bit, had an aide bust up your phones and Blackberries, do you think you'd be in trouble?
Well, let me put it this way. You don't delete emails unless you really need to, especially if they're under congressional subpoena, as a general rule. I just don't think...
I'm going to be nice and just let that pass, by the way. Go ahead.
I don't think they're going to go back to there. I think the focus here is going to be on the FBI, the CIA, the Obama administration, the listening in, the unmasking,
the trick that was done against Flynn by Sally Yates.
That was terrible.
I think that's where things are going to center, and I think it is the most explosive scandal, really, it's certainly in my lifetime in American history.
You're on the right side of history. It is the biggest abuse of power, corruption scandal we've ever seen. They tried to rig an election. They saved one candidate from indictment. Then they tried to undo an election, and they knew what they were doing. And unfortunately for those involved, there's the evidence that is coming that proves it all. And we already have a lot of it. Mark Penn, thank you. Appreciate it. And you can thank me later for saying, okay, that's a good enough answer. I understand. All right, when we come back, news roundup, information overload hour. We had the Sri Lanka bombings over the weekend. Very scary. And we have now, 24 suspects in custody. The attack appears to have been carried out by suicide bombers. We'll get an official update straight ahead.
What was supposed to be a joyful Easter Sunday was marred by a horrific wave of Islamic radical terror, bloodshed. It's heartbreaking that a country which has strived so hard for peace in recent years has been targeted by these terrorists. We mourn the loved ones of the victims, some of whom we can confirm were indeed U.S. citizens. This is America's fight, too. I spoke with the Prime Minister of Sri Lanka this morning. And our embassy and other parts of the U.S. government are offering all possible assistance to Americans and the Sri Lankan government alike. We urge that any evildoers be brought to justice expeditiously, and America is prepared to support that. We also stand with the millions of Sri Lankans who support the freedom of their fellow citizens to worship as they please. We take confidence in knowing that not even atrocities like this one will deter them from respecting religious freedom. Today, our nation grieves with the people of Sri Lanka, and we stand committed, resolved to confront terrorism together.
All right, that's Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. News roundup, information overload hour. Nearly 300 people killed in the Sri Lanka attacks over the weekend. And we know it started at 8:45 a.m. This is Easter Sunday morning. Bombs tearing apart three separate churches, three separate hotels. There was another explosion at a housing complex. U.S. Embassy confirmed at least four U.S. citizens killed out of the nearly 300. Sri Lankan police now have 24 suspects in custody. Appears that they have carried out suicide bombs. But on top of that, and the 24 people in custody, police said they discovered 87 detonators apparently abandoned at a private bus stand in the capital. And the government has ordered round-the-clock security at all churches. We know no claim of responsibility, Wall Street Journal points out. And by the way, whenever you see multiple attacks, it has the fingerprint of Islamic militants. They point to, Sri Lanka points to Islamic militants in this Easter bombing attack themselves. And we do have apparently some information that would support or suggest an international network is involved in this, and officials suggesting that there was some advanced knowledge of a terror plot in Sri Lanka that intelligence may have ignored. Why, I don't know. Anyway, it is just devastating. And yeah, this is our fight. It's always going to be our fight. Unfortunately, for the entire world, it's the U.S. that beats back fascism and communism and Nazism and Imperial Japan and now radical Islamists that want to kill innocent people. We've seen it happen in this country too often. 3,000 people, 9/11. But we had many attacks warning us beforehand. You had the embassy bombings in Kenya, Tanzania. People forget about it. The USS Cole, the first Trade Center bombing. All is a lead up to 9/11/2001. And remember, the 9/11 report said they were at war with us. We were not at war with them. We didn't take it seriously enough. Anyway, joining us, Patrick Poole. He is the National security correspondent for PJ Media. Matthew Hyman is with us, senior fellow, associate director for global studies at the National Security Institute at George Mason University's Antonin Scalia Law School. Thank you both. Patrick, let's start with the latest and what we know, as we're pretty convinced of who's responsible for this, but the number of church bombings around the globe, especially Christian churches. We had the mosque incident in New Zealand, but the number of Christian churches is astronomical at this point.
Yes, Sean, and in fact,
and synagogues, I might add, too. Yeah.
Yeah, because we have Orthodox Easter coming up this coming weekend. They follow a week behind this year, and the Coptic Orthodox in Egypt, which is the largest population of Christians in the Middle East. Half the Christians live in Egypt. And just 2 years ago, they suffered two suicide bombings at churches, including one targeting Pope Tadros, the head of the Coptic Church, on Palm Sunday. So there's a lot of concern about something that happened in Egypt or, you know, in Syria, where the Eastern Orthodox churches are coming up on Easter. And Sean, it's remarkable how horrific this bombing was, but it could have been worse because we found out that a 6-foot pipe bomb had been discovered unexploded at the airport. And then this morning they were defusing a bomb inside a van parked outside a church in Colombo, and the bomb exploded. As they were defusing it, no one was injured. But this could have been even more worse than what it is.
Well, that's even more chilling. Yeah, I mean, the bus stop in particular. Matthew, let's get your take on it.
Well, I think this also points out, as you noted in your lead up to the story, Sean, the dysfunction that may well exist in the Sri Lankan government in terms of sharing intelligence and information between intelligence organizations, police organizations, and other security groups. Because, as you noted, the news reports discuss this intelligence being available to those folks over a week ago, 2 weeks ago, and it doesn't look like much action was taken. And so, you know, obviously a very unfortunate circumstance, especially when you have this many deaths and this many injuries as a result. I think the other thing that comes out of this story is that they're, given that they are pointing to this organization, which is called National Tawhid Jamaat, which is apparently a local radical Islamist organization in Sri Lanka, there's a strong sense that either Al-Qaeda or Islamic State must be connected to it, because the scale and sophistication of these attacks is quite remarkable. To pull off, you know, multiple sites, coordinated attacks, you know, it takes a certain amount of organization and logistics. And
but I know you've also been monitoring the attacks on churches and synagogues around the world, and it seems like exponentially now in the last year and a half or so, these attacks have gone way up.
Yeah, I think, unfortunately, we're in this cycle where houses of worship, whether you're talking about the horrible attacks against the mosques in Christchurch, New Zealand, or the attacks against Christian and Catholic churches around the world, that seems to be the method of attack right now, and it's a horrific circumstance.
Yeah, and I know, Patrick, you as well, this is what you do. You've been following it. How much has it grown?
Well, yeah, I mean, we've seen these attacks during Christian holidays, going back to 2012 and Boko Haram in Nigeria. When the Obama administration told Congress that, you know, this isn't religious-inspired violence when they're bombing churches on Easter, and we've seen it in Nigeria, Kenya, Pakistan, Egypt, Philippines, a whole series of these bombings. And, Sean, one of the important things, and I'm sure that investigators internationally, not just in Sri Lanka, are looking at, is that this group, this National Tawhid Jamaat, also included, as you and I have talked about previously, this group included ISIS guys who had returned from Syria. And in fact, one of the guys, Zahran Hashim, who's been identified, he had an active Facebook account where he was posting pro-ISIS literature literally for years, which goes to the whole intelligence failure question, which they're going to have to answer.
Well, we all get that, and I guess, you know, we've had this happen before, but from my understanding is, you know, we have intelligence sharing again, even with countries maybe we weren't as closely aligned with over the years, like we've never had before, the sharing of intelligence. Supposedly, we were to fix the intelligence in our country. I still can't for the life of me, Patrick, understand 30 years of the ability of hackers to get into our government business, and it still happens that we haven't built a defense strong enough yet to prevent it. That, to me, is a huge national security risk. But it just sounds too much like 9/11. It's like they're at war with us, they're doing all these things, and we're not. Or maybe it's just that we have to get it right every time, and it's hard.
Well, one other thing that we've talked about previously are these long series of known wolf attacks. I mean, in virtually all these international terrorism incidents, you see that law enforcement had most of these individuals on their radar beforehand. And no one's really willing to address that issue, even here in the United States, that law enforcement gets this information and the ability to process it and to be able to accurately gauge the level of threat has just been consistently bad across the board.
Well, and I mean, I guess, Matthew, you would think, like, for example, we talk about the ISIS caliphate. I mean, all of that land that they had taken in Syria is gone. It's they have been literally shoved into the ground, and a lot of it took a lot of intelligence and a lot of bombs to take out those people that were responsible. We went right back to the first town that they had captured, and we moved them out. They're gone or dead. And it seems worldwide these networks still keep popping up, and or you have the lone wolf syndrome. But in this case, it seems like a lot of sophisticated plotting, scheming, and planning went on here.
Well, it certainly appears that way, and I think the way you just articulated what happened with the geography in Syria and in western Iraq is right, in the sense that the Islamic State doesn't control that geography, and the people that controlled it are either gone or they're dead. Now, the people that are gone have either returned home, or they are still in spider holes, hanging out, inspiring others to engage in these acts and creating networks that allow these acts to come to fruition. And so that's the problem, is the ideology is still around. There are people that still adhere to this view of the world and willing to support local organizations like the one in Sri Lanka in terms of pulling off these attacks, which means our intelligence functions have to be, as you noted, almost perfect in terms of stopping every one of these. And that's a tough task.
Well, it's like after 9/11, we have to be right every time. They obviously, they just have to, get that one chance. You know, Patrick, go back to 9/11 and go back to post 9/11. Go back to, I know we had a big debate in the country over enhanced interrogation techniques. People think everybody was waterboarded. In fact, there were only three people. One of them was Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. And one of the great discoveries was that even though bin Laden, as evil as he was, wasn't stupid. And by that, we learned about the courier, that he didn't use any internet, he didn't use any computers of any kind, that he communicated only through that courier. We got to the courier, we found bin Laden.
Well, Sean, going back even further to the Afghan jihad, where you had the so-called Arab Afghans showing up, and after the conflict, they ended up basically creating the international network we now know as Al-Qaeda. Well, I think we're going to see the same function now with the demise of ISIS in Syria and Iraq, is that a lot of these guys have just kind of spread out all over. We have ISIS guys that the FBI knows about who are already back in the United States. Same thing in Canada. And a lot of Western countries are grappling with, how do we handle these guys? Because in a lot of cases, you don't have the evidence to be able to convict them in court. What do you do? And, there's in fact, there was a report in the Sunday Times yesterday in the UK where they've discovered information about guys who were ISIS guys who were moving people in and out of Europe. So this is going to be an ongoing problem, and these places of worship are going to continue to be perceived by ISIS as targets of opportunity, and you know, it's going to be a serious ongoing problem.
Well, that I agree with. Stay right there, and we'll wrap things up. And what we think the likely outcome is in all of this, and whether we're going to get to the bottom of this coordination. Terrible attacks, nearly 300 killed over the weekend. Church bombings, hotel bombings in Sri Lanka. More with Patrick Poole and Matthew Hyman as we continue on the other side. Then we'll get your calls in at the bottom of the half hour. All right, wrapping things up, the Sri Lanka attacks, nearly 300 murdered over the weekend, 24 suspects in custody now, appears to be carried out by a network of, can I say, suicide bombers, Patrick? Is that the right way to classify that?
That's what we understand from the current reporting, yes.
Yeah, and Matthew, the best way to stop this is in the few seconds we have left.
I think it's effective information sharing. So, as I said, the news reports show a breakdown in information sharing within the Sri Lankan government. Best way to stop it is to have effective information sharing that's not stovepiped, and also good information sharing from country to country.
All right. Thank you both for being with us. Our thoughts and prayers for the people of Sri Lanka. And it is everything that's been happening. We better keep our eye on the ball here. Don't think it can't happen again, because it can. Very scary. These are very evil people that have bought into a very sick, evil ideology. And I watch too much of the History Channel to realize we'd be foolish to think evil in mass form with mass death can't, you know, spring up its ugly side again. All right, when we come back, wide open phones, 800-941-SEAN, as our news roundup information overload hour continues.
We're actually making the Green New Deal come alive here in New York City. So we have our own Green New Deal. It's three very basic ideas. One, the biggest source of emissions in New York City is buildings. We're putting clear, strong mandates, the first of any major city on the earth, to say to building owners, you got to clean up your act, you got to retrofit, you got to save energy. If you don't do it by 2030, there will be serious fines as high as $1 million or more for the biggest buildings. And this mandate is going to guarantee that we reduce emissions. We're going to ban the classic glass and steel skyscrapers, which are incredibly inefficient. If someone wants to build one of those things, they can take a whole lot of steps to make it energy efficient, but we're not going to allow what we used to see in the past. And the city of New York, the government, which uses about as much energy in a year as do the people and the businesses of the state of Vermont, we are going to get all of our energy from renewable sources in the next 5 years.
I'm here at the cafeteria PS 130 in Brooklyn with these amazing kids. I was spending time with fourth graders, seventh graders. They are passionate about wanting to make sure they are healthy and the earth is healthy. And they believe in Meatless Mondays. And I want you to know why we're going to do it for the whole school system, because we need our kids to be healthy and a more balanced diet, more vegetables, more fruit, more meatless options, good for everyone, good for the earth too. We know that we're going to have to do a lot to fight global warming. That includes looking at how our food is produced and choosing some other options, striking a better balance. That's what this is all about. And I got to tell you, when you're talking to a 10-year-old and they know this is good for their body and good for the earth, that proves we're going in the right direction. There's a lot of enthusiasm. The kids told me that the food tastes better. Now that they have these meatless options, they're getting a lot of great tasting food that they're excited to eat. They don't want to throw away or pass by. They actually want to eat their lunch. And as a parent, that is music to my ears. Always want our kids to eat their veggies. Now they're actually doing it. Enjoy.
But I also do need to ask, you live on the Upper East Side in Gracie Mansion. Most days, or several days a week, a city SUV drives you 11 miles to a gym in Brooklyn, as opposed to one that's close to where you currently reside. What sort of environmentally responsible example are you setting there, taking this drive in a car, as opposed to going someplace nearby?
So the example we're setting, first and foremost, let's look at this exact question before us. The plans we have put forward, we're acting on, will reduce emissions 30% in all of New York City by 2030. That's where we make huge change. To the question you asked, look, wherever I go in New York City, whether I take a subway, whether I go nearby or farther away to another borough, I have a security detail that follows me in their cars either way. So let's be clear, this is just part of my life. I come from that neighborhood in Brooklyn. That's my home. I go there on a regular basis to stay connected to where I come from and not be in the bubble that I think for a lot of politicians is a huge problem.
All right, there it is. Comrade Bill de Blasio. You know, Bob Grant
ruled the talk radio airwaves in New York for years. You know, so I it's sick and it's getting sicker. I got to get out of here. It's nuts. I honestly, this is nuts. I actually, Linda's laughing. It's, I heard Stern this weekend saying the same thing. I got to retire. You know, he's probably doing another negotiation, but whatever. It's like New York has lost it. We're going to retrofit every big building and eliminate glass and steel skyscrapers. Well, what are we going to make it out of? Timber? That's not going to be acceptable either. Plastics? Not acceptable. What are we going to make it out of? You know, toothpicks? No, that comes from a tree also. The biodegradable steel? Good luck with that. I mean, they've lost their minds. We're going to be completely renewable. Yeah, wait, what are we going to do with the Freedom Tower that it took them forever to fix and rebuild after the Trade Centers went down? You know, I mean, it is, we're going to retrofit every home in America in 10 years. We're going to ban oil and gas. The lifeblood of the world's economy, we are sitting on more energy that we could be the richest country. Every single American can benefit on the face of this earth. And now, 10 years, we're going to eliminate that. Then we're going to make everything free. We'll retrofit every home, every building in America. But you can't use oil or gas. You know, every combustion engine, gone. You know, but we'll have charging stations installed all throughout the country. And then we're going to get rid of cows. The cows and their flatulence are ruining the ozone layer and contributing to global warming and climate change and airplanes. They're gone too. Basically, I guess you go to Europe, just pull. I could see Linda pulling out her sailboat. You know, the tiny ship was rough.
I'm so privileged. I got a sailboat. Fantastic.
Well, I mean, that's
how I'm going to sail away.
How else are you going to get there? Are you going to have electric?
Does she dance on it?
Oh, man. You know how many people commented about our discussion on Friday? That was
Did they all say what a weirdo you were, that you don't like to dance?
No, everybody agreed with me. If you missed that story, we were in Helsinki. And anyway, so I take my whole team out, and I was hanging out with my brother-in-laws and Blair. And I remember sweet baby James was like me, and we're watching. All of a sudden, in the middle of Linda's little dance routine with her friends, and they're all girls, and I'm watching this guy literally maneuver right into the middle of it and start like grinding against strangers. And I'm fit to be tied. So I just walked over and whispered a little something in his ear. And, you know, that was it. He went in the corner where he belonged. But I thought it was so strange that some stranger feels that they have the right to invade your space that way. And every guy agreed with me. And you're the only one that's on the wrong side of this. Sweet baby James was like ready to kill.
Side.
Right. Sweet baby James, right?
Yeah, it's true.
It's true. We're looking at Blair was aghast at that.
First of all, you and Blair can't dance to save your life. So the only thing you were aghast at was the fact that you weren't able to shake it like he could.
Like who could? Listen, this little
twerk. We had a name for him.
While you're dancing, you just whispered the name?
Yeah, because he smelled really bad.
That's even more reason. Smelly weirdo.
When he came close, we were like,
but
oh,
no,
God.
No, no, he's like, listen, he's trying to make physical contact with all of you. And I'm like, this is going to end badly here.
Back up, you creep.
Exactly.
Get away from me.
It even make creepy Joe Biden look less creepy. It was so creepy.
Crazy, creepy Uncle Joe.
No, everybody agreed with me. You want me to do another test? Steve in San Diego, who do you agree with? Does some guy have the right to just throw himself in the middle of a group of dancing girls at a club? No, right?
I always agree with you, Sean.
Thank you, Steve. Stay right there. Jimmy in Brooklyn, what do you think?
I think we're in big trouble. I think this attack on Trump, they're trying to topple Trump. Do you realize in Trump's first presidency, the Democrats...
I think Jimmy missed the question. Maybe
right,
you need
we're
going to
get back to you, Jimmy. I was giving him a little space there. Just Nancy in California, what do you think, Nancy?
I think that pretty soon we're going to live in a nation of single people.
Well said, Nancy.
Well, wait a minute. I mean, okay.
She's right. I mean, right. What's a man supposed to do? A man can't tell you you look pretty.
How about saying, do you mind if I dance with your group? instead of just going in and making physical contact.
His wiggle insinuated a desire to dance together.
Okay, you're free. Nancy, seriously, you're buying into this? Some stranger?
Well, I mean, kind of, sort of.
He was like a 50-year-old guy, with his shirt.
He
thought he was... thought it was John Travolta in Saturday Night Fever.
No, he was not 50.
Yes, he was.
No,
he was at least
not.
50. He's a short guy that stunk.
He was not short either.
You mean, Nancy, if you're on a dance floor and some creep comes up to you and starts, grinding on you, that's not going to piss you off? You don't think that's an invasion of your space?
Oh, no. If he grinds on me, he will be facing the floor.
Thank you.
He's not going to be doing all that. No,
oh, and Nancy, you would be able to handle that, right?
Oh, for sure.
See,
well, clearly you and your friends were not able to handle it. Your sister-in-law, I think, was she there?
No, she wasn't there. It was just a group of us that were all on the road for the trip. But the bottom line is this. If a tall, strapping, good-looking, somewhat smelly man comes over and he says, hey, I want to dance with you, and he does so in a more physical way as opposed to a more verbal way, it just means that he's challenged in his abilities to vocalize his desires.
Okay.
That's all.
From my perspective... I made a mistake. It was a restaurant that had a club upstairs. So I'm not into going to clubs. But I was acting like, I like to, for example, whenever we're out to dinner, I'd like to go walk around and pour the wine, if we're having wine, and make sure everybody's happy. Do I not do that at every dinner we have?
Yes,
right?
You're very good service.
Yeah. So I want everyone, because everyone works so hard, especially, we're in Helsinki, Vietnam, the last day we were there. I took all the crew out. We had a great time. But this one had a club, so you guys were like, oh, let's go upstairs. So I go up, and I'm hanging out maybe 20 minutes. That's it. And I'm, watching this, and I'm like, I got to get me and James and Blair, oh, this is awful. We wanted to get out of there, and, we just... Then this happens. Then I feel like I can't
leave. First of all, essentially,
until you people
weren't
are ready
even,
to leave, because I feel a sense of responsibility.
You were not even hardly in there, because you guys were all standing outside on the balcony anyway.
Well, I kept going out on the balcony, and every time I came back, Creepo was working his way back into the circle.
I call him Wiggles, but what?
I hope Creepo listens to this show. It would be so great to get a call from Helsinki.
There's a huge summit going on in Helsinki, and I got the top fold of the biggest paper in the country. That was amazing.
That actually was very nice, though.
No, I don't want to tell that story. It seems self-serving. But anyway, we did get the top fold of the local news of Helsinki's newspaper, a record. Like the New York Times, fake news, except this wasn't fake. That shows how desperate they were for news there. All right, let me get to the phones here. Steve, San Diego. Steve, how are you, sir? Glad you called. Thanks for waiting.
I'm doing great, Sean. Hey, I appreciate you taking my call. If I may, there's two things that really bug me. One is that that Hillary was briefed by the State Department on how to handle classified information. And she made a conscious decision to circumvent the laws. I mean,
correct.
If that is not intent, I don't know what is.
She actually sent out a note to her entire State Department staff warning people not to do the very thing she was doing. And everybody in her close circle knew about it because they were all emailing that, including, as we later found out, even a high-ranking government official that turned out to be Barack Hussein Obama.
Right. Yeah. And then, if I may, my other thing is, now that the adults are in charge, interference of elections, i.e. Lois Lerner. I mean, the only accountability is when a Republican is in charge. I mean, it's the only people that ever get fired, only people that get anything. And if we're going to get a handle on the politicization of government, we have to do it, and we got to do it now. Otherwise, we're lost.
If we don't get this right, I'm telling you, we're going to lose the country. You can't have this happen again. You cannot have a dual justice system. You cannot have unequal application of our laws. If we believe in equal justice, you can't have unequal justice. There's only one way to solve this problem. Those that were responsible for the rigged investigation, those that were responsible for committing a fraud to the FISA courts, those that were involved in trying to weaponize intelligence and unmasking and leaking, those that were responsible for all of these attacks against a duly elected president for political purposes because they thought they knew better than we, the people. They've got to be held responsible. Nancy, California, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing great. Thank you. I'm so pumped to be able to get to talk to Sean Hannity. I can't believe
it. Oh, thank you. I'm glad you called.
You're amazing. I just want to say that I am absolutely disgusted that these Democrats have not said a word to condemn this attack that we had. And they're just un-American. It's unbelievable.
Listen, this is real. I'm not making this up. There is an unhinged rage that is now a psychosis that has taken over the Democrats and the liberal media. They're not going to stop. I wish they were. They're not going to. You know, interesting in the break, I just saw this at Mediaite. A letter sent to congressional Democrats today. Nancy Pelosi says she agrees Trump has engaged in unethical and unscrupulous behavior, made repeated efforts to thwart cooperation, and that the matter of indictment is an open-ended question. No, it's not, Nancy. Anyway, however, she then tells her colleagues that holding Trump accountable and performing congressional oversight and on his actions is possible outside of impeachment hearings. While our views range from proceeding to investigate the findings to the Mueller report or proceeding directly to impeachment, we all firmly agree that we should proceed down a path of finding the truth. It's also important to know that the facts regarding holding a president accountable can be gained outside of impeachment hearings. And as we proceed to uncover the truth and present additional needed reforms to protect our democracy, we must show the American people we're proceeding free from passion or prejudice, strictly on the presentation of fact. She's scared. All right, Hannity tonight, 9 Eastern. We got a great show on the Fox News Channel. Alan Dershowitz, Joe Concer, John Solomon, Lindsey Graham, Newt Gingrich, Piers Morgan. He's been great in his columns. 9 Eastern tonight on Hannity. Have a great night. We'll see you then and back here tomorrow.